This is Bill Bernard. We mentioned him just a moment ago. He's a data security expert. His business is he's the senior director of security architecture at a company called DeepWatch. DeepWatch.com is their website. He's based out of Aurora. Bill, thanks for joining us on WGN. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, John. Happy to be here.
What do you make of that hack of the City Hall email from former staff members, but also from the mayor herself? And they said, listen, give us money or we're going to dump all of this data. The mayor didn't. The law team did not. So they dumped the data. You're able to read email that they don't want you to read. Interesting sidebar about that, too. They're not commenting on the legitimacy of them. And they said they won't. So even though those might be real email from City Hall, and even though they might be embarrassing or revelatory in some way, the city is not going to comment on them, make a news story out of them, say, out of the content of them themselves, because they said these were gained illegally. They're not going to engage in anything that we've read there, which is kind of an interesting stance to take. Is the city handling this well, and how does something like this happen?
Sure. So, John, by my opinion, the city is doing the best thing they can with this, right? So, some time back through a hack that had occurred, this data was taken, and the newest version of extortion that's going on these days is about stealing your data, not just to make it inaccessible to you, but to actually threaten to release it, right? So finding the sensitive data that's going to concern you, your business, your city, convincing you to pay to get it back. Everybody out there, the federal government, the FBI, et cetera, suggest not paying for this. And in fact, the good folks at Sophos, I believe it is, provided their ransomware 2021 report stating that of the people who even pay to get their data back, only about 8% of them actually ever get their data back.
Wow.
Which means, the city refusing to pay was really probably the right choice. And frankly, very hard to prove at this point without, of course, the original emails, if anybody modified those between the time the city, quote-unquote, lost them and now.
Right, and that's why they're not going to even comment on the legitimacy of them. Only 8%. I thought that it was a better bet to pay. For instance, in the first round of these sorts of hacks, this sort of extortion campaign, they would just lock up your computer. They might not have had damning information about you, but they'd say, you can't work until, we won't give you the key until you give us money. Does that still happen?
That does. And the fact that only 30% or so of the folks who got hit with that even considered paying in the first place has made these folks trying to do this stuff, right, the ransomers, have to find another way to convince you to have to pay.
I see.
So, because so few of the people that they were trying to get to pay ransom were paying it in the first place, they said, okay, well, now we're going to threaten to release data that we've gotten from you. Will that motivate you to pay?
Is it still people clicking on links they shouldn't click on? Is that how they mostly gain access?
That's one of the ways. One of the other big ways that's been an issue for us, especially, in the year that we just had, that hopefully we're coming out of, knock on wood, with everybody sort of having to work from home. IT departments, information security departments had to scramble to make remote access available. And when you do things fast, you don't always do things thoroughly. A lot of security details have gotten missed by folks. And so we saw this, in the hack of the water sanitization system in Florida, where somebody was able to get in with just a username and password. There weren't other controls to prevent getting in. So, that's one of the other big ways that these things are happening, too. Not just, oops, I clicked on a link, but also we didn't do a good job as the corporation, the entity, et cetera, of setting up our external security in the first place.
I took the cybersecurity webinar. All of us at WGN Radio had to do the little, HR thing where you learn about crypto or cybersecurity and how to, make it all safe. It was hard. I mean, it took me twice to pass the test, and those things are usually pretty easy, but it's not easy to know what is a legitimate email, what is a legitimate link or not. Do you understand why I say that?
Oh, Absolutely. And unfortunately, you know, security departments that it's important that everybody in the company is exposed to this and does try to think about these things. I like to talk about April Fool's Day as being Social Engineering Awareness Day, right? If we were all as skeptical about the email we read on a daily basis as we are about anything anybody tells us April 1st, we'd be a lot more secure. But that said, we're just human beings. We make mistakes, right? I'll go out to my car and forget my phone. I'll have to come in and get it, right? Whatever. We'll make mistakes. So it's up to the corporations to make sure that their environments are oops-proof, people-proof, right? Because, yeah, I'll make a mistake, or, you know, I'll be reading my emails on my phone, and I'll try to swipe to delete the email, and I'll accidentally click the link instead, right?
Been there, done that. I've done the opposite. I've tried to click on a link, and I deleted things as well, at least those you can capture. But sometimes once you've opened Pandora's box, it's hard to close it, right?
Absolutely. And so, you know, one of the other things that companies need to be able to do is have the security tools in depth and have somebody monitoring those so that when the first person clicks the bad link and oops, their workstation is now a problem, we can identify that before the problem spreads throughout the environment, right? A little bit like, you know, trying to catch the cancer before, you know, before it spreads to the vital organs, things like that.
Well, I suppose then the city of Chicago, like the federal government, like Sony, like corporations and governments around the world, are vulnerable. People are trying to get in. And there's no sense in beating yourself up about the fact that it happens because it is inevitable. Is that an accurate statement?
That's a tough one. You know, if you want perfect security, you cut the cord on your cable modem, right? And then nobody from the outside can hurt you. Of course, it makes it impossible to do whatever it is that you're trying to do out there on the internet, things like that. So it's highly probable that you've missed something, you know, because again, it's sort of like, back when we had castles were great for protecting against guys who would run up to you with arrows. But then somebody figured out how to use a little gunpowder to shove a boulder or a ball or something at really high speed that was able to start knocking down those castle walls. So as the defenders, we had to keep changing how we were defending ourselves. The defenders have to be right all the time. The attackers only have to be right once.
Yeah, that's...
And it's very cheap to do these attacks.
The Senior Director of Security Architecture at DeepWatch.com in Aurora is Bill Bernard. I'm more interested in what happened in Chicago than what happened with that energy pipeline. I know Steve Bertrand talked about it yesterday on Chicago's Afternoon News with Congressman Adam Kinzinger, and he'll update me on that conversation after the news here. Bill, I'm going to call you again. I really appreciate your time and expertise today.
Happy to help out, John. A pleasure talking to you today.